And it's like, they always talk about how they want a different audience, or they want people that have never gone to the theatre before. But if you don't put on work for the people that have never gone to the theatre, like the everyday people, like they're not gonna come because they're never gonna relate.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Chai with Rai, a life and culture podcast diving into the mindset and business of being a creative. I am your host, Rai, and each week I bring you a guest or a fruitful message from the creative industry, all while sipping and spilling some hot chai. Now, if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you love this podcast and are listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, or wherever you are streaming your podcast from, if you could do me a kind favor and make sure to rate the podcast down below and share it on your stories, on the WhatsApps, on social, and spread the word. It organically grows the show and connects us with listeners who haven't tuned in before, and overall, as I always say, it just shares the love. So spread it on your iMessage, spread it on your family groups, just spread it. Also, if you haven't done so already, you can now become a patron, aka a supporter of Chai with Rai, by signing up on Patreon for £5, or as I love saying it in this accent, $5.50 each month. Your subscription will help support the show, but also get you exclusive behind the scene footages and some extra juicy things. I'll put the link for the Patreon channel, as well as all of the other links mentioned in this episode, in the description of the episode, so make sure to check that out. So last year, I released an 8-episode short audio storytelling series on Chai with Rai called Symphonies of Beaded Threads. Each of these stories had a different genre, their own theme, their own voice, and a style. Now this is going to be following that. As most of you know, one of the things that is the heart of Chai with Rai is storytelling and the minds behind it. So this is going to be a conversation with the writers who wrote those pieces. P.S. I will make sure to put in the bio of this episode the link to their stories, so make sure to check those out.
But without further ado, let's warm up our cuppas and let's dive into it with the writer of the short story Daydreamer, Afria Jasmine Nylander.
So I am intrigued to know, and actually this will be a great starting point, where how has your creative journey been till now, and what was the fire that ignited within you to be like, this is what I'm going to do and what I will be doing from now on?
Oh, good question. I always liked like drama and the arts, and I was like I did stage coach from a very young age. So I just knew that I wanted to do something like that. And then when I went to the Brit School, and when I got into that, I was like, oh, you can actually do this like full time. Like that can be just one A-level. You just come in and do theatre. And I was like, oh, so you actually can get a job and get money and like actually survive off this. And so then I was just, that was all in my focus. That's all I could ever think about. I couldn't think of myself being or doing anything other than being in the arts, acting, writing, or like dancing, because that's where my joy comes from. And I, even though like when I was working, it didn't even feel like I was working in a way. It was just like I was just doing something I loved, and that mindset is like, and that feeling is what I want to keep on doing. So I was like, yeah, it's gonna be my full-time thing, hopefully.
Oh, I'm intrigued to know, wait, how was Brit School? Because the Brit School is like an institution. And yeah, how has it been navigating coming out of that space and being in this creative industry where you're kind of like not protected by that bubble in a way? Because institutions tend to do that, I feel. And education does that a lot of the times as well.
Like coming out of Brit was kind of, it's like scary because there's like so many success stories and you kind of just want to be that person that's on the wall. Or like just want to be like come in and do a Q&A. You want to be like that person. But then also I feel like everybody around you, there's like, you got like 75 peers that are all in the same situation. And even though like some of them will go on to like be in like Vogue or like do like their own movie and stuff like that, it's still, what I learned from Brit was that you just had to look at yourself and your own path and try not to compare, even though it's so hard and there's so much pressure, because you kind of feel like, oh, I went to this school, I need to do something great. This can't be like it. This can't be that I just went to the Brit School and that was it. But I just think just keeping on going, and also like even workshops that I go to, I always find someone that went Brit, and it's always like, oh, you go Brit, and it's like, how's it going? They're like, yeah, and you're like, yeah, period. Like, we're in the same place. And I think a lot of people feel that pressure, that go. And it's just so nice to know that you're like not alone, and it's actually like a mutual feeling.
I want to shift gears, and I think this is a great point because I'm intrigued to know, and I'll see this question, which I usually do later on, but what three things you feel the industry could do with and or without?
I think it could do with more stories from like ethnic groups in the forefront, honestly. I think like I was speaking about like when I saw Four Black Boys, I was like, this is so fun. It was like sold out every night, and I was like, why has this not been done? Like for the theatre, this would be like, it's they literally hit the jackpot. But also for people that came, it was kind of like you were seeing your people on stage. And it's like they always talk about how they want a different audience, or they want people that never gone to the theatre before. But if you don't put on work for the people that have never gone to the theatre, like the everyday people, like they're not going to come because they're never going to relate. I think that's what we need to see. And I also feel like we just need to see like people just having fun on stage. I feel like whatever work you do will always be, I feel like, political. But let's just have some fun. Let's just have joy. Why does it always have to be like serious topics? Because I feel like, especially with different ethnic groups, I feel like when theatres put on like a play by like a writer, like a queer writer, or let's say, I'm repeating myself, but like an ethnic minority, it's always like they're trying to find like the sadness in it and like the problems that they face, and they only just want to like focus on that. And it's like there's so much joy. That's just who you are as a person, but you're so much more. You have fun, you go out, you have friends, you laugh, you giggle, you dance. Like, why can't we just see that? Why can't we just see freedom on stage? Even though we know we're oppressed, but like, can we just, like, we already know that now. We're over that. Well, no, we're not over that. Well, we live with it. Yeah, so it's like, but we're still humans. We still breathe. Yeah. We still do stuff. So let's see, like, that funness on stage. And what I would like to stop seeing is just like, especially like in film, just like the sexualization, that's like over sexualized people for no reason. I don't know why so-and-so has to be topless in this scene. It makes no sense. I don't know why they need to be having sex right in front of me. It just, like, if it makes no sense, it makes no sense. Why would you put it in for shock factor? Let's stop doing that. If the work is good, you don't need a shock factor. It speaks for itself. So like, let's just be creative and just do that.
Okay, intrigued to know, what is your favorite part of the job then?
Favorite part is mostly the movement, but also my other favorite part is like when a line is said and you're like, yes. And you're like, I can't wait till like the audience hear that line. Cause that's just hitting, or like something like that. But like, especially movement, I just literally love dancing so much. Like whenever I see it, I'm like, oh yes. And it's like flowing. I'm like, oh, I wish I was up there doing it with you. That's how I feel. And just being free. Like, I remember I went to see a show and the actress like kind of closed her eyes while she was dancing. And I was like, oh my God. Like I know where you are right now. You're in a different world, and I love it. Like, I love how you're just to yourself and safe.
I so agree with that. I think there's something about the feeling that it evokes within you, and it kind of reminds me of that thing we're drilled as writers, which is like exposition. How much do we tell versus how much do we show, and the balance of that. And I think there's something about storytelling where it doesn't need to be a lot of the times just explained. Like, it just evokes a feeling, and that's sometimes in review of that as well, or in a describing of that. And I so agree with that. That happens to me so many times where I'm just like, I feel you. I cannot describe it, but I feel you. Okay, now shifting gears, I'm intrigued to know, because you're multidisciplinary yourself, do you feel like that it's a pick and mix of things where one thing lends to another, or do you feel like often it can be an obstacle or it cannot be? And how did you kind of come to be multidisciplinary? Did it just happen organically? Yeah.
I feel like with this industry, you have to just be everything. Sometimes you just have to, like, even if you don't know how to do it, you just have to learn it real quick. Because that's how it's been. But I feel like sometimes when I write, I always think of, like not directing it, but like seeing it on stage. But then I'm like, oh, this would be a great part for a little bit of movement, or like this would be a great part for the actor to do this. And like even when I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, but how would the actor say it? What is the intention the actor would have if they were to say this line? Would this be weird for an kind of like that? Because it's like with writing, yeah, you need to write a character, but you also need to like try and visualize, is that how you say the word?
Visualize, yeah.
Yep. Like someone actually saying it, and you just don't want to, you don't want to give them like too many like jumps, so 1 minute they're happy and then the next minute you just put another word that they're just like really pissed off. Yeah. It's just like too hard, so you just have to like actually imagine each actor being that character, seeing their journey, and then add another character. What's their journey? Another character. And that's what I always think when I'm writing, and that's probably why it's taken me so long to finish a play, but that's what I'm at.
Well, speaking of writing then, I am intrigued to know that, do you feel like you have kind of found your voice as a writer, or do you feel like you're kind of still experimenting and kind of honing into the style, the thematically sort of the voice that you provide in that? Because for me, I have realized that when I direct things or when I write for stuff, for me, it needs to have an impact. Like the beginning moment needs to set the tone for what the rest is going to be, not in an exposition way, but that it's almost as if, you know how you have a 3-course meal, that you get your dessert first. It's almost as if like that needs to be the beginning moment. So I'm intrigued to know if you feel like you have set anything for yourself, or you feel like those are the things that you're exploring or even drawn to.
Oh my God, now I'm thinking about it. I think I do that. I always start off with like, do you know what's going on? You might not know. Mm. Or like, oh, you're setting the scene. And then, actually, this is not the reality. Type thing, like, I'm tricking you. I feel like, I remember I was writing this thing about like forgiveness, and it was just so like just sad, and like it had like a nice little like, oh, but like one day I will learn how to forgive, and then I'll look over the fence of forgiveness and see myself and blah blah blah. And I remember someone, my director was like, can we have a little bit more like happiness of like you actually see yourself? And it's like, yeah, where is, because I always feel like it's like deep, 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 deep. And then there's like a little glimpse of happiness. I'm like, oh, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Like this is who I am. And I think that's really hard, especially when you're writing about something that you actually care about. It's very hard to just like flip the switch and be really like happy when it's actually like you just don't find it happy. Like you just don't find it funny. And then you have to be funny. It's like, I just don't. And then, like, when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, I could have write this happier now. But back then, it was not happening. So I think it's, like, trying to find happiness in the world. I mean, like, trying to find the balance of this is how I feel now, but also I want some contrasting elements to my work. I want this to not be what, like, everyone says. I want this to be different. I want this to be a different take.
Okay, now shifting gears and talking about the piece, I'm interested to know your initial thoughts when you read the brief, what came to you or how it came to be, and how do you see it going? Yeah, all that jazz.
I mean, you sent me it being beaded symphonies, and I was like...
Sure.
Was it?
Symphonies of beaded
threads. Oh, sorry, symphonies of beaded threads. Sorry. Okay,
read it. So,
yeah. I'm just gonna read it. Yeah.
It's so chill.
Remember you sent me this text saying symphonies of beaded breaths. And I just went, wow. But I heard, like, I was like, beaded threads. And I was like, necklace, love. And then I was like, symphonies. And I was like, what the hell is a symphony? Like, maybe. I was like, I am just not on that level to be listening to symphonies. So I was like, okay, let me just look on my Spotify, as I do, always go to music first. And I'm like, symphonies, what songs sound like a symphony to me? And I remember Daydreaming by Aretha Franklin, the song. And I was like, oh my God, that's a symphony, right? To myself. I was like, whatever, it is a symphony. And I was like, oh, so I was listening to it. I was like, yeah, daydreaming. I daydream a lot. And I was on the train and I was thinking, I was like, well, what am I going to write about? And I was like, maybe I should just write about how I just literally go into a different world every single time. I just don't want to be in this world. Mm. Every single time the conversation gets boring, I'm just like, back to me in Brazil. Back to me in Brazil. Or like, I don't want to be in this world. Back to me courtside in the NBA. Yeah, yep, I can see that. And it's like, I was talking to my friend about it, and it's like, I was talking to her and I was like telling her about like my daydreams, and she was looking at me like I was absolutely crazy because she actually couldn't believe that I was doing this. Like, I would daydream about different characters, but like, of like, they could be like an old white woman and I'd be that old white woman and I'd just be living her life. And then I would just like jump to like another person that's somewhere else and I'm like, oh my God, I'm living this life. And then she was looking at me, she was like, I don't do that. And I was like, isn't this what everybody does? I thought I was the, I was like, oh, I guess I'm the only one. Because it's like, I kind of imagine myself in films, but like roles that I obviously would never be able to play, a white old lady. But if I could, this is what she would be doing right now. And so I just was like, I should really write a little spoken word about this. Because I guess not a lot of people experience this, allegedly. And it's also like, let's say you like watch a film and you're like, oh, I really like that character. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to become that character in my mind right now. And just fuck the storyline that I saw in the movie. This is the actual life of this character. Yeah. And you just like, and it's not like I don't actually think I'm an old white woman, okay? I'm just gonna put that out there. I don't, I'm very aware of who I am. It's just a good little fun, like, oh, and this person lives in this world and this person has this life experience. And then once I feel like I'm bored with them, I'm like, okay, next obsession. What do I like? Oh, the NBA, okay. I'm at the NBA, sitting courtside, and Steph Curry looks at me, and I'm like, oh my God, stop.
Wait, you know Steph Curry is, like, married and has, like, kids. Actually, I think his wife is pregnant right now.
And then next you know, I'm Alicia Curry. That is the life.
Wait, are you sure you mean not Alicia?
Oh, oops, sorry. Don't come for me, please.
Okay, let's play some quick rounds. I'm intrigued to know this, and this is a question I ask everybody, which is peaks and valleys. A peak is a high point of your professional or personal life. What was it? What lesson you learned from it? And a valley is a low point of your personal or professional life. What was it? And what lesson you learned from it?
Peak. I think, okay, so something that literally changed my whole view on theatre was I was in class and we were doing political term, and I had this teacher named Will, and literally, I can't actually explain to you what we actually did, but we went into a school shooting type scene, into Kanye West, into like 9/11, into like being butterflies. It was so weird, but it worked, and it just gave me a new lease on what theatre could be, that you actually don't need to follow a boring old script. You could literally do anything you want with just a stimulus. And our stimulus was like empathy. Added. I'm not gonna lie, my brain literally like exploded from all the knowledge I was getting. I was like, oh my God, we can do that? What? But, oh my God, so I don't actually need to write an actual story with two characters that have to stay alive and keep on talking. I can literally just change it. We can be in a C, movement, little C, then we can change it into this scene and this scene. And it was so fun to be a part of. My mum didn't really understand it when she came to watch. But the moral of the story was, it gave me a new lease on life and a new lease on my writing. And I'll just never forget that term. So thank you, Will. And a value I learned is that like everything happens for a reason.
And what words of wisdom would you give to yourself if you looked in the mirror right now at this moment?
Whenever I'm like down on myself, or I think I'm like really bad, or like stupid, or like I'm never gonna get this role, yeah, I'm never gonna see myself in theatre, I always think, like, would I actually say that to the 10-year-old child? Would I actually say that to school me with my little pig rucksack and backpack ready to go to year 7? Would I actually say that to myself?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. So why do I keep on saying it to myself? Why would I ever do that? And sometimes I actually have to pull up the picture that my mom took the first day of school and be like, yeah, I'm done hating on myself. I would big that person up and say, you can do anything you want and you just have to keep on going and keep on going. And what's the worst that can happen? They say no. Okay, next. There's always gonna be an acting job. It may be hard to find, but there's always gonna be someone that's making work. And even if it's not that person, it can be someone else. And then also it can be you. It can literally be you.
Yeah.
And you just have to stick with it. And the fun times are going to be fun and the low times are going to be low. But just, you would never say that to a child. So why would you say it to yourself?
Mm. All right, well, let's play some quick little games. You got to be quick with these responses. And this is going to be if I was. So the first thing that comes into your head and make it like snappy, make it really, really, really on the point. So the first thing is like, for example, if I was a color, you would say blue. But this is not going to be that. Your first question is, if you were a movie, what would the original title of that movie be? Go.
Jasmine.
Give me three actors that would star in it.
Spike Lee, Samuel Jackson, and Halle Berry.
Okay, give me the logline that would go on IMDb describing the film in like a couple of lines. Go.
A girl from the estates has made it to being a famous actor after being transported to another land. Boom.
If you were a drink, what would you be?
Fanta.
If you were a food, what dish or cuisine would you be?
Katsu curry.
If you were a fruit, what would you be?
Pomegranate.
Ooh, fab. Okay, if you were a dessert, what would you be?
Creme brulee.
Mm, color.
Orange.
A clothing item.
Bag.
A flower or plant, and what type?
I would be a lily.
Ooh, cute. Okay, last two questions. I'm obsessed with joyfulness and bringing joyfulness to other people. So I'm intrigued to know what is one thing that makes you feel joyful and what is one thing you do for others that makes them feel joyful?
What makes me feel joyful is literally dancing. I just love dancing so much. And I'm not even going to say that I'm like amazing. It's just flinging my hands and pretending that I'm actually at a concert and they've come to watch me. It's just like, yes, like head spinning. I just love dancing so much. And which brings me joy. Recently, I remember, okay, so back in the day, I used to be so broke. Like, I had literally no money. I was the person that would ask you to buy me a drink. But now I'm like a giving person, and it brings me so much joy to just like give people stuff. So like if my friend's looking at like a coat and they like haven't brought it, I'll just like go buy it. I know, but like, or like, I remember for my cast, I bought them like these cookies and it was like a line from the show and I just left it and I never told them that it was me. They did find out it was me because I by accidentally left the label that's on my name. But it was just like nice to just be like, yep, I'm doing this for people. Or like, oh, let me just buy this snack because I know that people are going to want these snacks. And I just think like that's what people were doing for me. So now it's my time to give. It's my time to be that person.
Got it.
And I'm loving it.
Okay, on that note, we're going to do this question last on your request. So everybody loves a rant. You get to rant for 30 seconds. However, the conditions are you have to either start or end your rant with what the chai. So this is Afria Jasmine Nylander with what the chai. Go.
What the chai? Let me tell you something. If I am walking or I am getting on the train first and you can see me that I am about to get on the train first, do not budge me out of the way. Have you actually lost your goddamn mind? I am just an innocent child with heavy bags trying to get on this train. And then, oh my God. And then you're about to go sit on the seat and they've literally gone sat down. And it's like you actually have two working legs carrying nothing. Let me sit. The fuck?
I hate that. I also hate it when, you know, you have to get up and it's like little kids and stuff like that. And I also hate it when little kids just don't give up seats for older people. Oh, it irritates me. Irritates the hell out of me, the seating system. I'm telling you. The inequality when it comes to the tube system.
Oh, a literal kid was like eyeballing me to get up and I was like, no. I was like, I literally did like a 10-hour shift. You ain't sitting.
Well, everyone, that brings us to the end, and I hope you enjoyed that. I will put all of the information for the artist, the Patreon channel, in the descriptions of this episode, so make sure to check that out. Don't forget to share this, comment, do all of that juicy stuff. And as of now, I will leave you as I always do, which is breathe in and breathe out. Namaskar, which is copyrighted, and I will sue. See you next time. Stay curious.